Hello, and welcome to this episode of Nucleus Wealth in Power, where I go looking for what the good life is and how finance can support and empower us in achieving that. So I'd like to start in the spirit of reconciliation and note that NAIDOC Week kicks off next Monday, the 4th of July, across Australia. NAIDOC Week is a celebration of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander history, culture, and achievements. And if you'd like to find out more, you can do so at naidoc.org.au. And in that spirit, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to the land, sea and community. I pay my respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. Rightio, so on today's episode, I've spent the last few weeks at Nucleus Wealth working on end of financial year tasks, and it's really made me wonder about what I can do at the start of the financial year to set myself up for success, as opposed to rushing around at the end of the financial year trying to drag a few things together like I normally do. So to help me answer this, I have Nucleus Wealth Head of Advice, Tim Fuller, here to run me through some strategies. Thanks for being here, Tim.
It's a pleasure, Shelley. Yeah, always good to be on the show.
And so a quick reminder before we get into the show, if you haven't already, subscribe and click on the notification bell to be notified when we go live or have a new webinar to watch, or follow us on your preferred podcast platform. And if you could take a moment to click like on the video now, you can and help our show grow. Thanks. All right. So, Tim, what have you got for us today?
Yeah, Shelley. Well, look, as you said in the great intro there, like a calendar year, like a New Year's resolution, I think there's an opportunity for people who maybe, and obviously it's been a pretty wild time for most people, and it's because it's going to continue that way in Australia with the pandemic. You could be forgiven that, you know, perhaps, you know, the new year didn't, you know, kick off too well from a resolution point of view. And so what the start of a financial year does is give you a mid-year opportunity to jump back into, you know, having a good think about your future, and obviously, you know, some steps we'll go through today to help get you there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, excellent. That sounds great. So if I'm wanting to kind of do this mid-year refresh of my financial situation, where's the first place I should start?
Yeah, sure. So look, we've got four key takeaways for today, it's just for listeners. And obviously, like myself, you know, if you go more than four or five, I think, without writing them down, you probably, you know, chances of you getting through them all are going to be pretty tough. But look, number one is obviously new financial year. So we've just crossed over last year's one, which means it's now time to submit your tax affairs, or tax return, as we call it. It's a bit of an odd name, given that the tax return is what you go after it. But anyway,
hopefully.
So, look, the key thing there is, I guess, for anyone, you know, and there's probably a lot of people who would do it themselves because they've got pretty simplistic tax affairs, you know, and you know, look, there's no problem with that. What I might just sort of introduce, perhaps just for this year and maybe for next year as well, is actually perhaps having a look at getting a professional to do it, so going to an accountant. And the reason for that is because, as I mentioned before, with the, you know, the ongoing pandemic saga, is now creating some opportunities, or things are a little bit different from a tax perspective than they have been in the past. So, you know, there's been a number of concessions and bits and pieces from the ATO that have come out that you know, you probably don't know a whole lot about unless you're doing a lot of research in it or you work in the industry. And so if you were going to go to a professional to get your tax return done, then I think this year, you know, well, this year's tax return is not a bad one to get started on.
So in that vein, I don't actually have an accountant. And one of the reasons I don't is because, honestly, I don't really know how to find one.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Well, look, plenty of opportunity out there, I guess, just a Google search away. Look, I often find, you know, obviously referrals are top notch as well. You know, if you, no doubt you've got either parents or friends or somebody who uses an accountant. And it's really about, I guess, making sure that, you know, you trust them and all the rest of it. There's not a whole lot that can go wrong, but what you do want is someone that is obviously technically proficient, on the ball with these new changes and the deductions that you can make due to the COVID concessions, and just make sure that you are taking advantage of those. And look, I guess, you know, the whole idea is that, you know, you want to do that because you've got, you know, a limited opportunity, or I guess a diminishing opportunity to take advantage of those. You're probably not going to get them in 3 or 4 years' time. So, you know, if you make a fist of it yourself this year and miss out on, you know, on some good deductions, or, you know, making sure the deductions are suitable for your circumstances, by getting professional help, then you're really giving up that opportunity.
Okay. And so how much should it typically cost? And do you get to expense that against your income or as a reduction? How does that part work?
It is, yeah. So look, there's a very broad gamut of accountancy costs. Look, personally, we've got a bit going on in our financial life, so it's probably a fair bit more than a basic what they call an I return. I'd hasten to give a figure, but probably somewhere between $100 and $200 sort of feels about right. Maybe up to $250, depending on and obviously the more complex your financial life, then the more costs it could potentially be. Yes, you're right. It is, accountancy fees are tax deductible against your income, but for the following year because you've expensed it in the coming year or this coming year. So always helpful, obviously. Spending money to get a tax deduction is probably not always the smartest move, but probably the one exception is in the accounting side because, well, as I said, you want to make sure that you've crossed all the or ticked off all the boxes for what's available to us with the pandemic.
Excellent. Okay. So when you're doing or talking to your accountant this year, are there some things in particular that people should be considering?
Probably the key thing for most people is that we've been at home, and so a lot of the costs that there are now the potential for a greater number of deductions for home spending, and that's where speaking to a professional about saying, okay, well, look, I here's what I've spent, what can I claim, and getting some guidance from them. It would be a good idea to actually have that. And look, for those who haven't been to accountants in the past, the appointment might go for an hour, but it normally takes about 2 or 3 hours prior to that of you sitting at home getting all your affairs in order. Obviously, the more that you can get them in order, the more advice they can give you and make that whole process simpler. And obviously, you don't want them doing it if you can, because they'll be charging you for that on an hourly rate or whatever it is, and that you want to avoid that cost if you can. Simple things, just getting your transactions history from your bank, online bank, if you wanted to do that, putting it into a spreadsheet or something like that, sort of something that we do, and then sort of being able to pull out certain items that you feel you might might be able to make a claim on. But yeah, look, leave it up to the tax professionals, and look, certainly we can go back to the point of finding one. Is that you can ring around and obviously get a price from them of what a return would typically cost. That gives you a bit of an idea of ballpark. But also ask them what they want. Ask them what would you like to see me have prepared for when I come in and speak to you or to the accountant if you're speaking to someone in their office. And quite often they might even be able to send you a checklist so you can just go in there, tick and flick it.
Excellent. Thanks. No Alrighty.
So just continuing on from that, so obviously we've got the tax return done now, so we're thinking post that. Now, with any luck, you might actually have more than you would typically have as a return because of these pandemic concessions and bits and pieces in there. Fingers crossed, as you say, you never know. But I think the key thing is getting the tax done properly in this special year, but also then not blowing it. And look, for mine, it's very easy to do, and everyone was 20 in their 20s once upon a time, and it was a bit of a windfall, really, wasn't it? Getting your tax done, so you really look forward to it. And it was probably spent 3 times over before it landed in your bank account. But look, putting the planner hat on and the sensible hat on, this is an opportunity for you to make a few changes in your life, or to sort out a few things. So I've just as a dot, so for three simple things in order of priorities. High interest debt is certainly something that I'd be looking to try and extinguish, or at least beat down using your new windfall from the tax return. If you haven't got a high interest debt, well, obviously if you're paying credit card rates on debt, and it's 20% a year or something like that, that's effectively you're getting 20% return by paying it off in my eyes, if that makes sense. And it's pretty difficult to find 20% returns out there. In that regard. And also there's the emotional piece of actually just getting that extinguished and getting it away from.
It's definitely a relief, right?
Well, that's right, hopefully a bit of a reminder going forward, not to wind up too much debt. Now, that being said, people have to use credit cards and for certain reasons, and I'm sure
plenty. Yeah, obviously sometimes you don't have a choice.
That's right, absolutely.
But if it's a new pair of shoes, then maybe.
Or
a handbag.
People like spending money on each other, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute as well. But, you know, look, it's your money. You do what you want with it. But certainly, you know, using high interest debt to fund it is, you know, is deleterious to your lifestyle in the long run if you don't, you know, get that one paid down. The second one, so if you've got the debt all organised, is the other piece, and we've sort of spoken about this in the past, is having an emergency fund. And look, you know, for mine, one or 2 months worth of income sitting there in cash. It's readily available, but it's just one step away from, you know, your wallet, if that makes sense. So, you know, it can't be accessed easily, but it's there for you if something goes wrong. Once again, there's a lot of emotional, reliability, or, you know, in terms of, you know, being able to be confident that, you know, if something does go wrong, that you can use it. And look, a tax return, you know, particularly if it's bigger than normal, could be a great place to direct that to start something like that and enjoy the benefits of having that backup money there. And then, of course, just finally, if, you know, if the first two priorities are already sorted for yourself, then invest it. You know, start an investment, get cracking on something, and start, you know, if you haven't already, obviously, you know, start learning about the ins and outs of investment and the benefits of investing as well. You know, you don't have to invest all of it. You always can, you know, spend a little bit, but I think if you you've got to put your future hat on, don't you, a little bit, when you go, okay, well, if I do one of these three, or if I tick off all of these three options, then you know, the future may be a lot happier at the end of the day, or I just need to, you know, find more space to put more shoes. So that's that one. The second part of this four-parter is four steps is setting yourself some goals, or I call it time to dream. So really, I guess, you know, once again, like a New Year's resolution, isn't it? You know, it's not a bad time to pause and reflect, do a little bit of navel gazing. It's been a bit of a weird year for most people. And so, you know, this is an opportunity to sort of start afresh and say, okay, well, look, looking forward, you know, what do I want to do? There's commonly, used framework for goals is what they call the SMART goals. So specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and then time-based. And so, you know, feel free to Google all that stuff. But there's a framework that you can put your, you know, your goals into, where if you cover off on those sort of five different key areas of goal setting, dramatically increases the chances of you, you know, getting to the other side and actually achieving those goals as well. It's not set in stone, but it's just sort of something that I think can help with the third step in our four-parter today, and that's reviewing budgets. Not a very fun task for a lot of people, can be a little bit revealing, but that's why I think it's really important to do number two first and actually put something in front of your life that will then you turn around and say, okay, well, how am I going to fund this? And obviously through saving and investing is typically what most people, you know, the way that they get to where they want to go. For the saving side, that's where the review of your own personal budget, I think, is almost mandatory these days.
I think you've hit on something really interesting there, which is, you know, really the crux of managing your financial situation, which is the carrot and stick side of it. Like, it's a very, or yin and yang, you know, it's very much about balancing the fun, good side of it with the kind of administrative side of it, the less enjoyable side of it, you know, making sure you pay your bills and that sort of thing to ultimately get to where you want to go. So, you know, no pain, no gain, they say. It's definitely worth it though when it comes to your finances.
That's right. Yeah, look, and the big problem with budgets, particularly in the past, and, you know, look, you know, I'm sure I sit with many people out there that, you know, you start with really good intentions and then it all starts to wane away, particularly when you're using something like a paper-based budget in a, you know, in a notebook or something, you know, old school.
Or
like
even
that.
Excel, it's not easy to maintain. Like,
exactly,
I think that's what's really exciting about now is how easy it can be to do on your smartphone.
That's right. Yeah, look, and that's, I guess, where I'm leading to, that, you know, now would be a great time, if you haven't already, to migrate to an online budgeting solution. There are plenty of them out there. There's lots of different, use cases, I guess, and that's where it's probably important. You're going to be spending a bit of time with this software, so you want to make sure that, you know, it's designed for you, if that makes sense, in a similar way as, you know, businesses do the same for their business accounting software as well. The beautiful part of it these days is that quite a lot of the painful part of the old manual ways is now very automated. You've got these digital links to your banks that you can set up. And what it does is it basically feeds in all of your transaction data and your spending and incoming money, and then gives you an opportunity to, much like a business accounting software, is you can then start putting it into various categories. Yeah. And look, it's a bit of an uphill climb at the start, and that's why going back to it, set your goals, set something that you want to do, and then realize that, you know, doing something like a little bit of work now will certainly help get you on the way. But you've basically got to sit down and you've got to start working through and categorizing. Now, look, the better software out there is actually will automatically scoop them all up, mm-hmm. and then what you do is it'll say, okay, is this your electricity bill? And then it'll go off and it'll grab all the other ones that are like it and put it in that category. So, you know, don't think it's horrible work. You're really only needing to do it once. But then the beautiful part of it is that then the system is trained going forward. And like most of us, you know, humans are creatures of habit. So you're generally, you know, going to the same coffee shop. You're generally, you know, going to the same supermarkets and all the rest of it. And so once it's got that initial bit of training pain out of the way, all you're really doing, you know, month to month going forward is just addressing any additional ones that it doesn't know and being able to apply them as well.
Also, what I would say is what I really enjoyed, because you got me onto one of these apps, and what I enjoyed about it was actually it just engaged me so much more with my finances. I think up to that point, it all just seemed too hard and too much going on. But then once it was all organized, I actually wanted to engage with the situation and actually get it under control. So, and I started to enjoy it. Like, I look forward to opening the app, which was just unbelievable to me.
Yeah, look, that's right. You know, and particularly, you know, when you're by yourself, you've got 100% control over what's coming in and out. And you know, what it does is it just sharpens the focus on where your money's going. And I think there's a huge benefit in that, even if you're not really altering what you're doing right away. You know, there's no such thing as too much information when it comes to, you know, where your money's going. Look, it does lead into, and for those that are sharing finances, so in our case, at home, we've got just a central bank account. We've both got cards linked to it. So I wouldn't say it's monitoring, but like at the end of the day, you can, you know, you've got the opportunity to do that goal process. And then obviously, you know, you've got the information coming on where the money's going and what could potentially be addressed. Look, the beauty of it as well is you can do things like, so many of our services these days are subscription-based, right? And they seem pretty cheap. You go, oh, yeah, it's only $7.99 a month or something, right? And then before you know it, you've got 10 of them and you're spending, you know, $80 and you might not be using them. So a spring clean of your subscriptions and those sort of things, I think, is also quite good. And then, look, for mine, you know, just going back to the way that we've categorized, and we actually have an online subscription category, right? Mm-hmm. And so they all have to sit in there. And then they're all, you know, reasonably regularly reviewed on, you know, whether or not these things are actually providing value for us and we're using them going forward, or whether, you know, it's time to retire and switch it off. You know, they sort of can sort of sit quietly in the background because they are, you know, typically reasonably cheap. You know, it could be $15, $18, $20, and there's all sorts of, you know, media subscription service and all the rest of it. But when you're seeing them month to month and they're coming out and they're in that category and you can see the actual category itself, you know, taking a reasonable chunk of, you know, your broader income, that can just prompt you to review them. And, you know, in the long term, you know, if you're throwing money away if you're spending, you know, if you're hiring or subscribing to things that you're not using, like anything else. And so it's not a bad one to use to review. And the other key thing, I guess, is, you know, so going back to, you know, using this online budgeting software is, you know, obviously you're doing a lot of work in teaching it and training it on your expenditure, and so then it can do so much of it automated for you. But then, of course, the other side of it is then setting the budget, and so it'll look back and say, okay, well, you're currently spending a certain amount on X, Y, and Z. Do you want a budget for that? And so then what you can do is then build your budget going forward. And I guess the key thing there is to try and get it to a point where it's in surplus. So you're obviously spending less than you're earning, right? One of the crucial saving mottos and mantras, of course, but if you've done the work and you've put it all in there, you know the information's correct, it's live, then you're gonna trust it a bit more, and you're hopefully gonna stick to the budget as well. And then what that does is really then give you an opportunity to do something with that surplus going forward. And I guess this is, you know, rounding out point number four.
Look, before we go into point number four, sure. though, can you tell us about a few of the apps that people can use, or just one of them at least that they can check out?
Look, yeah, look, the one that suits us best is one called Money Brilliant. And look, I really like that one. It's got let's just say the app version of it is probably almost better than the web version, which is interesting. But it seems fully featured. It's got a whole bunch of other additional features. You can buy a subscription for it as well if you want, and it starts looking at broader pieces. It actually has, and I'm sure a lot of these do this now. I've actually been so happy with Money Brilliant. I haven't looked at a lot of the other competitors, but I certainly know there's plenty of them out there. But yeah, for quite often, and I know with Money Brilliant, you can switch on a tax deduction piece. So what it's actually doing is collecting up a lot of your deductible expenditure throughout the year. Mm-hmm. So that going back to the point number one, where you're going into the accountant, you can just press print and it will just fire off, you know, all the deductible expense items, and then you can tick and flick them with the accountant. So an opportunity there to save, you know, probably a couple of hours pre accounting meeting, and you know, for mine it's probably almost paid for itself, to be honest. But yeah, look, they're always getting better. It's more and more of this, what they call open banking, which is the ability for banks, you know, to, or being forcibly made to share your bank data with other providers that you've chosen. I think you're just going to find that this whole space is just going to, you know, go through a terrific piece of, it's going to increase the, the offerings, and you know, be very innovative over the next couple of years, I'm tipping. Very excited to sort of see what else they can do for us.
It is exciting. All right, so check out Money Brilliant or do a Google search.
Do a Google search. Look, at, you know, Money Brilliant's just one of them that's out there. There's plenty of others. I'd certainly be looking at the features of it, the cost of it, of course, and then just making sure that, you know, you're comfortable with it and it's suitable to your particular circumstances as well, yeah. And bank, actually.
Okay.
So they can talk to your bank.
Yes, you definitely want to be able to integrate your banking, all your banking in that. Mm. Be collecting.
I think with most of them, they'll offer a free trial or something like that. And so you've got an opportunity to at least go in there and make sure that the plumbing in the background is all connected up properly before diving into, obviously, the transactions and everything else. So,
Okay, thanks.
Very good. All right. And so now, moving through the checklist, you've achieved a surplus. You know, you might find that you've got $100 or something like that. At the end of the month. Okay, so maybe more, maybe less. Who knows? But you know, if we use that, so the idea then is to go, okay, well, what am I going to do with this? So you've been through your goal scenario, and you know, that's a great place to sort of go, okay, well, I need X, and this is the amount that I can justify or comfortably afford on a monthly basis, and then you can start directing that into whatever it is, savings or investment or something to help you with that goal piece. Look, for mine, it's often, and particularly, and this is going back to, I guess, the, you know, our younger audience, you know, that are often listening to Empower is considered, you know, doing something in the superannuation space. It probably is not the first thing to jump out to mind for you. So I guess I'll bring it up. I'll do my service to make sure that you're aware of it. But the start of a financial year is actually a really good time to kick off, a regular, what they call salary sacrifice, or, you know, additional contribution. Now, as people are probably aware, there's actually been a lift in the superannuation guarantee as of next month, up to 10% from 9.5%. And so there's actually, you know, there's going to be a bit more coming in already. And so, you've got the ability now to really turbocharge that if you want, and do some really good, meaningful, early work in a long-term investment. Get it started now. Look, remember, there's obviously the caveat that once money goes into superannuation, it's very difficult to get it back out again. But that's not to say that you can't adjust your level of salary sacrifice. What's worked well for people in the past is going through maybe July to November, making concessions, and then asking your employer to switch it off over December and January, generally very heavy spending periods. And you just, you know, that a bit extra money that you're diverting into super probably is required in your regular cash flow. and then remember to switch back on again on the other side. Otherwise, but that's the whole point, is that, you know, if you can get started, more often than not, what you find, of course, is that your expenditure will just be streamlined into the amount that you've got. So if you're spending, you know, if you're finding everything you get, and obviously we're doing the budgeting process to help tighten that up a little bit anyway. If you've got a little bit less, then that's fine. But remembering that the cream, so to speak, is going into a long-term compounding investment that your future self will really thank you for. And then just finally as well, so if you're on a tax rate of, say, an average tax rate of 30%, it's not $100 that you're actually sacrificing. It's only 70. So just keep that in mind as well, that you don't have to.
So the $100 is from before tax income, but what goes into your bank account is after tax income generally.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So essentially, you know, when you see $100 in your hand, that's already been taxed. And when you're putting it in through salary sacrifice, it's untaxed. So you can either put in $100 or you can, you know, you can gross it up as well if you want by your tax rate to actually put, you know, the whole amount that you would be missing when it goes into your pay packet. Either way, just make a start, get onto it, get some confidence around it. You'll become one of the winners that does this, as opposed to people that have forgotten about it and regret it later. So I think that's just a nice little finisher.
Beautiful, yes. The power of compounding. I love it.
Absolutely.
Rightio, Tim, thank you so much for going through those ideas for how to start afresh in the new financial year. So we had do your tax return. Give yourself a chance to dream and set some of those goals. Review your budget. And if you can, think about super contributions to I guess, cap that, summarize that very quickly.
That's right. Yeah, look, I think, you know, hopefully, you know, people have got to, you know, take something away from today. And I look, for mine, yeah, there's some key things that, you know, I think you can get started on if you haven't already. You know, you can be reminded of it, but at the end of the day, use this opportunity. It's a new financial year. We're hopefully through what's been a pretty rough patch in, you know, the economy and the lifestyle of Australians as well. It doesn't feel that way given, you know, recent news, but
no.
I think, you know, we're on the mend somewhat, but at least, you know, if you can do a little bit now and be thankful for it later on, then, you know, you're ahead. Yeah, you're having a win.
Thank you, Tim. Thanks for coming on the show again.
My pleasure, Shelley. All the best. Chat soon.
So before I say goodbye to the listeners today, if you have any feedback for me about this episode or any ideas for future podcast topics, please let me know in the YouTube comment section or send me an email at contact@nucleuswealth.com. Did you know that Nucleus Wealth offers personalized investment portfolios and limited investment advice? You can find out more at nucleuswealth.com or give us a call on 1-300-623-863. I'd like to thank my producer for today, Jaden Stent. And finally, if you know someone who you think would get something out of today's show, maybe a colleague, a family member, a friend, let them know and help our show grow. So thank you again from myself and the team, and we look forward to catching you on the next one. Cheers.